Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Pete this week. Pete, how's your week going?
It's going pretty good. I wasn't sure whether to wear my Mandalorian shirt or this shirt that I actually did wear, which is my Grogu eating soup shirt.
Yeah, that I can see that being your Grogu shirt. So
it growed on me.
Yeah. No, it grew on you.
Oh.
Steve, how you doing this week?
I'm doing well. So Pete, why did Grogu cross the road?
I don't know.
To get to the other soup.
Steve took the bad joke role tonight.
Hey, someone's got to do it. So, guys, if you're not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up. But this week, we decided to watch Mandalorian and Grogu. It's the standalone movie that was basically done instead of a season 4 of Mandalorian. They essentially took that plot and shortened it down to 2 hours. You could get into the plot, really. The plot really doesn't make a difference in this movie. It, I mean, to be perfectly honest, it's an action movie with Mandalorian and Grogu fighting. Okay, so they're fighting the Hutts, who are trying to take over after Jabba died. And it's all about the double-crossing, and they're trying to find all these Imperial officers.
Do you want me to summarize it real quick?
You can do it in about a minute and a half.
I can do it in a minute and a half. Time me. Steve, timing. Okay, so starts out Mandalorian Grogu are in the middle of a mission. It's like a James Bond episode. So at the first, they're trying to capture a Imperial warlord. They screw it up to kill the guy. Oh, well. They go to get another mission. They send him out. And in order to get the person they're looking for, they have to go to the Hutt sister, brothers, cousin.
Brother and sister.
Brother and sister. And they want Mandalorian to get Rada the Hutt, who is Jabba's son, who, if anybody watched Clone Wars, in the very first Clone Wars movie, there was baby Rada the Hutt. This is Rada all grown up. They find where Rada is. They try to convince him to leave. He's in like some kind of like MMA type situation where he's a famous fighter. So Mandalorian tries to buy him out of that, but he doesn't want it. But then he finds out the guy's going to have him killed. So then Mandalorian tries to save him. He ends up getting him out. He's going to take him back to the other Hutts. And am I too long now already? Anyways.
You have 30 seconds.
They end up catching the warlord, bring him back to the Republic. And when they do that, some guys come, the Hutts come and take Rada and Mando, and in doing so leave Grogu behind. Grogu goes and chases after Mando. He escapes but gets hurt. Grogu nurses him back to health, and they attack the Hutts and blow him up.
Perfect.
Only because I was giving him a countdown.
Yeah.
So, oh, okay.
Oh, that is Mandalorian and Grogu in a minute and a half. So, and interesting, I want to say interesting you brought up the James Bond intro, because that's exactly what I told my wife it felt like, was that first 10 minutes of he's in the middle of a mission, and he completes the mission, and then they do the credits. It felt so Bond-esque.
Yep.
So, and I mean that in a good way. So, what about this movie stayed on the light side? What really worked for this? And Pete, I'll go ahead and let you go first.
I thought most of the action sequences worked pretty well. That opening sequence, the fight on the gambling planet, I don't know what that was. The chase scene when they capture the Imperial guy, a lot of the action scenes worked really well. The other thing I really appreciated was the puppetry in this movie. The fact that they did not, for the most part, use effects for Grogu. They used an actual animatronic puppet, as well as the other little guys. I can never remember what their names are. I always call them the Babu Fricks, but that was the first character that ever appeared that was those guys. Were all done practically for the most part. And that was some of the best stuff in the movie, I thought, the puppetry stuff. So those two things I thought worked pretty well. What about you, Steve?
I agree with you. Like, I love the opening scene. Just great shot. And then the action scenes. I also liked the big battle with Jabba's son, and the nod to New Hope with the chess game.
Yes.
Like, I picked up on that. The floor and even the
same design as the
chess. And even the entire scene where he throws the animal down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, almost all of those characters were in that chess set.
Yeah.
So yes. It was real homage-y.
Yes, I liked that. It was a good, I'd say, fun movie to watch. I enjoyed it. It was entertaining. I mean, there's faults, which I can talk about next. But
there are faults, but
yeah.
For me, yeah, I liked some of, and Gina in the background says her thing she liked was some of the fan service, was some of the characters that, you know, if you watch Clone Wars, you know who the blue purple dude was. I had no clue. But I recognized him from Clone Wars. From
Zeb
watched. So yeah. I loved the the homage to the chess set on the battle for, which I noticed that as they were showing it. Some of the action sequences, I will say the action sequences that do not involve a hut, I think we're very good.
Yeah.
We'll get to some of the others later, but I think it was a good balance. I didn't feel like there was too much fighting. I didn't feel like it was all action sequences. I felt like there was enough. No one really thought Mandalorian was going to die, but that whole scene of, you know, okay, did anyone else? Okay, everyone knew Grogu was staying behind, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
My wife and I mistimed it, though. We thought it was going to be, instead of when the insects walked in, we thought that's when Grogu was going to come in. But him coming in and eating that scorpion was just... but, yeah, there were some funny parts to this. I don't know that I necessarily laughed out loud at any of it, but there were some chuckles. There were definitely parts of this I enjoyed. So,
yeah, it reminded me of the better seasons of the show.
Yes. Yeah. First couple seasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Second half of Book of Boba Fett.
Well, especially like the third season got very bogged down in the lore of Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I felt like this, even though there were those references, it didn't like, you didn't need to, like, I think Kate might have enjoyed this because you didn't need to know anything Star Wars-y except you know,
there was the Empire and
right.
The New Republic. Right.
Right. You didn't need to know like individual characters or anything like that. Like you do with like the Marvel stuff and you have to know 20 things before, which sometimes with Star Wars, you do have to know a bunch of stuff, yeah. But this one, I didn't feel like you needed that.
And I will also say, I enjoyed that it was a movie and not a season, which we will get to here after a little while. But, okay, so if that's what was on the list, what about this was working for the Empire? What did not work for you? And, Steve, I'll let you start.
Well, first, to answer your question, Pete, those are the Anzella droidsmiths.
Anzellans, right.
And they have, their names are Clang, Bai, Keto, and Minch.
Hmm.
Okay. I think that this could have been a straight to Disney Plus, like 2-hour special, not movie theater worthy. So I'm glad I saw it on my big screen. I felt that it was not really Mandalorian and Grogu. It was the Mandalorian for the first half. And then the second half was focused on Grogu with a little Mandalorian thrown in. So I felt like I was expecting more of them together going out and having a great adventure. So I was disappointed by that. My other thing is the Anzella droidsmiths. I saw those at D23, and we are allowed to get right up to see them. I think in the film, they do not do justice for the puppets, because in real life, seeing them interact and go was quite amazing. I think here it was still good, but not as well near
Is that one of those where on a big screen it would have been better?
Possibly. I mean, it's amazing puppet. I mean, yeah. It was amazing. Like, they're right there and you could interact with them and they are talking and it felt like they were actually real, like, creatures. Yeah. So I
could have used more of them in the movie, I think, is what you're saying. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were just totally, they were hilarious in person. So,
yeah.
Yeah. My biggest thing is it was not Mandalorian and Grogu together.
That's fair. It seemed like to me, the Hutt CGI was rough. The Hutt CGI was very rough. A lot of times they'll at least try to make them look lifelike. That was almost as bad as Jabba in the redone New Hope. Almost. We'll get into that another day. But I would agree with you, Steve. The biggest thing for me is as much as he talked up Grogu making sure his armor was nice and tight and Grogu getting armed up, he shot green spider webs and he threw a detonator. And that's all he did in any of the fighting. And I'm going, really? That's the extent of it?
He lifted a few things.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. This was almost as pointless. Okay, it wasn't that bad of CGI. Never mind. It wasn't Yoda in the prequels bad. but just, and I'm sure they did it because they wanted to keep him as much of a puppet as they could. That they didn't have him flying and jumping around everywhere. Yeah, and again, there were spots where, yes, this was only 2 hours, but there were spots where it was a case of, okay, get on with it. there were some, I mean, I didn't mind and it was earlier in the movie than I thought it might be, where it was kind of a get on with it. Some of the stuff with getting to the fight in the gladiator pit. That right. Getting to that took a while. So, and that was me. And Gina's in the background was the same as her positive, the fan service. Because if you didn't know a lot of it, like me, it was kind of pointless. And sometimes it seemed like, yes, they brought in Zeb from Rebels, but it seemed like they only brought in Zeb from Rebels to bring in Zeb from Rebels.
He didn't really do anything of significance other than
the one fight scene.
They wanted to bring him right. Like he didn't need to be there for the most part.
So Pete, what else you got?
Before I say mine, the sequence towards the end where Grogu takes care of Mandalorian, I really enjoyed that, but it really did slow the movie down for about 15, 20 minutes. Did you guys find that good? Because I thought it was like, to me, it was the only bit of like heart in the movie that I was hoping there was going to be more like character development in this movie. And like the only teeny bit of character development was that, which was Grogu taking care of Mando. And I really enjoyed it, but I was thinking, I wonder if people would think that this is just really slowed the movie down to a crawl.
I liked that in knowing enough of Star Wars stuff, I love the fact that he fixed the outer wound and thought that that was enough instead of it having the poison inside him. I didn't mind him taking care of, matter of fact, one of the bigger laughs that I did was him trying to get him into that tunnel that he had built.
Oh, yes.
Bam, bam, bam. Fine. But the section of that slowed it down for me was the, for lack of a better term, Cajun fish farmer he reminded anyone else of like, he'd be sitting on the porch in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh yeah.
I was thinking like, oh, this is like, yeah, this is like an animatronic in a Disney ride. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And that was the section of that slowed it down.
Okay.
So,
all right. So my negatives,
but I didn't mind. It needed that pause before the big action scene to me. Yes.
Okay.
Pete, I liked it. I think maybe it went on a little too long.
Yes.
They stretch it out. Yeah. They could have done something with time lapse and still got the point across.
Yeah. I think they just wanted to show off their puppet, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Cool puppet.
It was a cool puppet. So my things, similar to you guys, I really couldn't stand Rada the Hutt. And it wasn't that they made him all muscly. That was fine. But I thought the CGI was not great. And then I really didn't like the guy from The Bear doing the voice as just like a straight up regular voice. Like every time we've met a Hutt, they're like, and this guy's just like,
oh, yes.
Yeah, well, I really want to get different from my father, you know? And I just.
Not fucking Hutt. Yeah.
Well, I didn't mind him speaking English, but I wanted him to sound like he's this giant slug creature. His larynx wouldn't be different from all the other giant slug creatures. He wouldn't be able to, you know, he wouldn't talk in a high squeak. I mean, not that it was a high squeaky voice, but he'd have like a deep guttural voice. And instead he's just like talking like Mando, you know? And I found him very poorly thought out. I was not happy whenever he was on screen personally. It really felt like, and it was, that they took a season of the series and like scrunched it down to a 2-hour movie. And maybe that was good, but I think what Steve said is that it felt like I was just watching a TV show. And I was paying $15 to do it because I did pay to see it in the theaters and I enjoyed it. I wasn't disappointed in the spend, but I was not like, well, this isn't better than this. Like if you're going to do a movie, you have to have a reason to do a movie. Movies should be better than it. They should be something other than a TV show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, we talked about this was originally supposed to be the season 4 of the show, and they turned it into a movie. Many shows going forward, and I'm talking Star Wars, I'm really looking at you, Marvel. Is this the best model for shows going forward? More movies than actual multiple episode series shows. Because we haven't really liked a full season of anything. Agatha, maybe.
And yeah, Agatha was.
Agatha was okay.
I really liked Agatha.
But there were, it's been several years since there have been consistently good shows. So is this the best way to tell those stories? Take the best from a season and trim it down into a movie. So, because I have said all along, how many times have I said this should have been a movie? This should have been a movie. This should have been a movie. This should have been a movie. And I'm going to go first on this one. To me, yes, this is the best way to do it. A, it's cheaper to do, especially if they would send it straight to Disney Plus. This is cheaper to do than a full season. It's got to be cheaper. I mean, this has to have been cheaper than The Acolyte. Has to have been cheaper than The Acolyte. Because The Acolyte was so expensive.
The Acolyte was ridiculous. You want me to go?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
So I would, like, I think the model for streaming, the studios still are having a hard time figuring out how to successfully work streaming. And I think Disney Plus, along with some others, were for a while very much, we got to put everything on streaming and everybody's going to buy this streaming because it's where you got to go to see the Star Wars stuff. And I mean, we haven't had a Star Wars movie in 6 years or 7 years before this.
And just on this, the budget for Mandalorian was about $165 million.
Right. And so and Acolyte was more than that, for sure.
Acolyte was like 800 or something like that.
No, no, it wasn't. It was like 280 or something like that. It was way higher than it should have been. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Andor was really expensive too. I'm of the opinion that, like, you tell the story where it makes the most sense. If you have a story that needs 6 hours to breathe, Andor needed to be a series because the story they were telling with those characters could not have been compressed to a movie.
Especially the second season.
Yeah, the first one maybe, but and I'll even say The Mandalorian, with the tale they're telling through that series, I thought worked well as a TV series. Obi-Wan should have been a movie.
Yes.
I think even like what was the one with the kids? A Skeleton Crew?
Yeah.
I think that would have worked. I think that would have worked really good as an hour and 45. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I think if you had compressed it more, it could have been a really fun 2-hour movie. And instead it was a little bit too long and a little bit draggy at times. And so I don't know.
What about Ahsoka?
Ahsoka to me is a series. I'm good with Ahsoka doing what it's doing because it's throwing a lot of characters in there. You know, it's really
throwing any new characters, or is it just regurgitating all the ones from the animated series?
Go, Steve.
I think it's like The Mandalorian, where you started off strong and then it did like this little offshoot with the back lore with the woman Mandalorian, and you didn't see Mando or Grogu for episodes, and then came back. Right? I feel like Pete says it really depends on what the story is. Does it need a longer one, or can you shorten it up?
And that's fair. And I think, again, I think I'm agreeing with Pete on this one. I think with most of the series, they thought, oh, all these other streaming services are coming out with series that people are watching and buying the streaming service for. We got to have series that people would buy the streaming service for. And I don't think there really have been many.
No.
Especially not Marvel ones.
I think Marvel started out very strong. I think, like, WandaVision was great.
Yeah.
Falcon Winter Soldier was okay. And then the other one was Loki. Those first three were really strong. I think Moon Knight was really strong. But I think since Moon Knight, said Agatha would be the only other one since Moon Knight that I would say worked as a series that really needed a series.
You've got
to tell its story.
You've got She-Hulk. You've got Secret Invasion. It should have been a 30-minute special.
Yes. Secret Invasion was just terrible all around. I didn't really like She-Hulk very much. That one probably is a series because She-Hulk is like the concept behind it of doing like a legal comedy, but with a superhero.
Yeah.
Could have worked, but I just don't think it quite worked.
The ending ruined that one.
The ending really hurt it. There were a couple good episodes of that show, I will say that, but overall, it didn't work for me. But
was bad. Hawkeye was not as bad, but
Hawkeye was a great example of could have been a movie.
Yes,
in my view, that could have been a really good movie, but it didn't really need to be 5 hours of television.
Right. So, and I would guess from everything I have heard, this will be the model going forward of they will be focusing more on movies rather than series. Again, because for the most part, they're cheaper and they can make more money because a release, especially now that it's just digital, now that you're going to send out a hard drive, is not that expensive compared to, getting, bringing in $30 million that way and then putting it on Disney Plus, which, okay, sure. You're going to put it on Disney Plus anyway. You might as well get some box office from it first.
Yeah. I mean, this was the worst performing Star Wars movie ever in theaters. But it, as you said, it only cost $150 million. It did make like what? Like $300 million worldwide.
Yeah.
So it made its money back in the theaters roughly. You got to make about double. And now they put it on streaming. And I guarantee this is going to be the number one thing on Disney Plus for the next couple weeks. Because I think a lot of people have waited and now are going to want to watch it on that. You know, it's... So I think that you can make things work as both a cinematic thing and a streaming hit, you know?
Yeah. I will say this is barely the lowest grossing. It made almost as much as Solo, honestly.
Right.
And Solo cost like twice as much to make.
Yeah.
Solo was not great.
I liked Solo.
Solo grew on me.
Like a fungus.
No, the first time I watched Solo, I was really annoyed by some of the really stupid, like, fan fiction in it. Like, what's your name? It's, oh, you're alone. We'll call you Solo. It's like, come on. Really? You had to do that? But once I got past that, it's a fun movie. It really is. And I think it's better than this movie. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I agree with that.
I would put them very, very similar. I put them in the very much the same category for me. I will say
yes. They're close for sure.
Yes, they are very, very close. So, guys, as we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5 for Mandalorian, Star Wars, The Mandalorian, and Grogu. Pete, what are we giving this movie in terms of pixie dust?
I'm giving it a 3. I would go back and revisit it. I can't give it more than that because having seen it just in May, I felt like I don't need to watch it again. And I kind of flipped through a few scenes, but otherwise I didn't watch it again. So I can't give it higher than a 3, but I give it a 3. If you're a fan of Mandalorian Grogu, definitely watch it on Disney Plus. So, Steve?
I've been thinking about this all day. I'm at a 3, but I'm thinking if this had been part of the series and not pushed as a movie, I probably would score it higher. But it was a movie, and I was expecting more. So
yeah,
I'm going with a 3.
Yeah,
And I'm going with a 2.5, just because it was nice. Again, there are parts of it I would watch again. If any of the Hutts are on screen, I'm probably going to skip forward to the next channel. To be perfectly honest. I thought it was the best 10 minutes of it was the first 10 minutes, honestly.
There's a oneer. I don't know if you guys know what a oneer is, but there's a oneer in the, when he gets into the AT, whatever it is, is it an AT-AT? I always forget what those things are.
A walker, kind of.
But he gets into that AT-AT and they shoot it all in one single shot where he's like fighting everybody and he moves to the front and he moves to the back and everything. I always love it when they do stuff like that because it's like really takes some, it really takes a lot of behind the scenes mechanics to shoot something like that.
So a decent Star Wars movie, obviously not the best, but by far not the worst Star Wars thing we've
watched. Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay. No Disney Plus news this week. I couldn't find anything. But for next week, we are going to be watching Huzz Drawn to Life. It tells the story of the first African-American animator for Disney Studios who came on as an apprentice to the 9 Old Men and then stayed on through some of the classic Disney, like on through the Disney Renaissance. So I thought it was interesting. I mean, we've always liked these documentaries about different Disney animators and songwriters and such before. This is one that's a little bit less known. I thought it looked interesting. To be clear, I have not watched any of it, but I thought it looked kind of interesting. It was on it was originally a PBS show, which to me gives a little bit more street cred than just necessarily because PBS thought it was good enough to show.
Than just Nat Geo or something.
Than just a Nat Geo, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what we'll be watching next week. It's only about 55 minutes, so it shouldn't be that bad, even if it's not great. But if you have suggestions on what we have to watch, there is not much coming up. There's not much coming out, especially until the end of October. So please send us suggestions at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Send us messages on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. We answer any and all messages you send us. We have new episodes coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Pete and Steve, Kate, we miss you. We'll see you next week. We'll see Gina, thanks, in the background. And we will see everyone else next week with HUDs. Bye, guys.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued. Thank you.